we turn to the Word of God. Scripture reading for this morning is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Scripture reading for this morning, we read about Pentecost. Our children have been excused for Sunday school, and I've just been told as well that today is the last Sunday for our regular Sunday school program. So it's our last Sunday today, and of course we thank our teachers and all volunteers for all the work that they've done to make Sunday school a rich blessing among us. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, that's page 1692 in your Pew Bible. Tonight, we consider the very first Pentecost. When did the first Pentecost happen? We look at Exodus chapter 19 tonight. Tonight we also have Hymn Fest. We sing of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Right now we look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation responds together saying, "Thanks be to God." When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Your congregation gathered by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a passage we have before us, don't you think? Can you imagine being in that house on that day where all the disciples were on that Pentecost Sunday morning? You're sitting there, and all of a sudden you hear this wind noise. You hear wind. It's blowing through the whole house. Everyone can hear it. And it's not a soft wind, no, our text says it is a violent wind. It's loud. A violent wind comes blowing through the house. Of course, this wind doesn't do any damage. I mean, there's no apparent damage anyways. No, for all this wind is, it's a lot of noise. Wind is what you heard, and fire is what you saw. Yes, apparently fire also appeared in the room. According to our text, the fire came, it separated, and different tongues of fire came to rest on the people's heads. That's what happened. The noise of wind and the appearance of fire, that's what blew into the house on that Pentecost Sunday so long ago. And what did this all symbolize? What has just happened here? What does this mean? Sure, the sudden, radical outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know the third person of the Trinity. You get the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Well, on Pentecost, that third person of the Trinity was poured out upon the people. And not that the Holy Spirit didn't dwell among his people before. He did. Even in the Old Testament, believers could be touched by the Spirit in one way or another, at least in part. In bits and pieces they were, so to speak. But in our text for today, the Holy Spirit is released in a most abundant fashion. No one could mistake it. The noise of the wind and the presence of the fire, it made it also very, very obvious. The Holy Spirit of God has made his presence known. Congregation, you recognize the Old Testament language in our text, or should I say the Old Testament background to our text. Wind and fire, they appeared before. I think of Moses and the burning bush. Moses is taking care of some sheep in the desert, and all of a sudden this tree is on fire. There are flames all over the place, but the thing does not burn up. What is this? This is the Holy Spirit. Moses comes closer to take a look, and God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to Moses from within the burning bush. Notice that this is a very holy event. God tells Moses to take his shoes off. The place where he is standing is holy ground. You take the Exodus from Egypt. Moses becomes leader of the people of Israel. He confronts Pharaoh and tells him to let his people go from slavery. Pharaoh doesn't listen, so God sends the 10 plagues. Pharaoh finally gives in. He lets them go. And what appears? A massive, windy pillar of fire. It's like a fiery tornado of sorts. It's awesome. By day, it's a pillar of cloud. By night, it's a pillar of fire, says Exodus chapter 13. It's God, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, is leading and guiding his people out of Egypt and into the Red Sea. You get the building of the tabernacle. This, too, is very interesting. The Israelites build the tabernacle, this movable tent thing of sorts for the Lord. The idea is, as Israel would tent their way towards the land of Canaan, the Lord, he would tent right along with them in his tabernacle. In Exodus 40, the tabernacle is finally finished. It's all done. And what appears? It's God, the Holy Spirit, and all of his fire and wind. He appears and he descends in the tabernacle and he fills it with his glory. It's an amazing story. And the exactly same thing happens again when Solomon builds the temple. Israel finally moves into the land of Canaan. They build their homes and their houses. And so Solomon builds a home and a house for God. It's finally complete. And there he comes again. He descends upon the temple with all of his wind and fire, and the whole thing is filled with his glory, says 2 Chronicles chapter 5. All of this is Old Testament background to what happens in Acts chapter 2. In our passage, the wind and the fire appears again, one more time. It's an unbelievable event. There is all kinds of wind. It's a tornado. And there's all kinds of fire. God, in all of his glory, appears, and this time, he fills the people. Fire lights up on each one of them. They are filled. In effect, they have become his tabernacle. They have become the new temple of the Lord. You know, in the Old Testament, Moses was told to stand back. Moses, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. Here, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. He fills them. They are now his holy ground. They are his burning bush. They are the dwelling place of the Lord. It's really rather amazing. Congregation, you wonder why this happens now. Why now? Why didn't this happen earlier? Why not in the Old Testament or something? Why now? Why? Because of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You know the story of Jesus. In the fullness of time, God sends his own Son, Jesus. The purpose of his coming, it is to pay for sin, to die on the cross. On Good Friday, Jesus does go to the cross. He pays for all of our sin. He wipes the slates totally clean. On Easter Sunday, he rises again. This is his victory. Death is conquered because sin is gone. In the Old Testament, God says to Moses, "Moses, stand back. You're too sinful. Take your shoes off." Now, in Christ, the sin is gone. God and man belong together again. On Ascension Day, Jesus goes up into heaven to become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down. It's Jacob's ladder all over again, right? We talked about this last Sunday, if you were here. Heaven and earth, they are united. There's a ladder. There's a staircase between the two. Angels bring the blessings of heaven down to earth below. Angels bring the prayers and praises of God's people up into heaven above. And all of this is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Christ comes down from heaven to win our salvation. Christ goes up in his ascension. And so the Holy Spirit must come down to dwell among his people in all of his wind and in all of his fire. Praise his holy name. And all of this according to prophecy. Sure, didn't Jesus say that this would happen? He said it right before he left in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Old Testament prophets, they too said that this would happen. Joel chapter 2. In the last days, that is in the days of the Messiah, in the days of the Christ, I will pour out my spirit on all peoples. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So it has happened through the person and the work of the great Messiah, Jesus Christ. Congregation, it's important that we notice the final result of the Spirit's coming at Pentecost. Notice the final lasting effect. The Spirit comes in this violent wind and this unquenchable fire, but if you didn't notice, that after a while, the wind goes away, and so does the fire. Like it did at the burning bush. It didn't stay there forever. As it did in the tabernacle and in the temple. And so the lasting effect, the final result that would not go away, the disciples, they begin to speak. How interesting it is, when the Holy Spirit first comes, the fire of God separates and divides. Notice what actually rests on the people. It's tongues. The separate fires look like human tongues. And the lasting result is that the tongues of the disciples are touched. Tongues appear, and so the tongues are touched, and so they speak. They speak about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Notice, too, that the disciples speak in different languages. They're not speaking in unknown languages or in some undiscernible heavenly language. No, in this instance, in this occurrence, it's all normal human languages. They speak in different languages so that all peoples from all cultures and all languages might hear about the risen and the ascended King, Jesus Christ. And so the lasting result of Pentecost, the disciples speak. They become witnesses of Jesus Christ. They become witnesses so that the gospel might move out. This is the lasting, permanent result of Pentecost. At Pentecost, a tornado comes, and the shock wave is the gospel going out from its epicenter to the very ends of the earth. You understand that the shock wave has not stopped yet. The gospel continues to move out. It's made its way here. Here we are in Dundas, Ontario, Canada. In the English language, we speak and we sing about the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate him here. We talk about him here. We teach him to our kids. I'm sure Faith Brower and Alex Newman can say a thing or two about him. And next Sunday, three individuals from our midst will publicly profess their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the effects of a tornado upon this place. And yes, this is just what we do. We tell of Jesus Christ. We sing of Jesus Christ. We preach Jesus Christ. Congregation, you understand that we cannot keep Jesus Christ just to ourselves. Don't keep him just in this place. Don't hide him under a bushel. No, we have to get the gospel out. That is the evidence of the Holy Spirit's work within you. Nothing more the Holy Spirit desires. This explains 541. This explains the Alpha program. This explains Resonant Global Mission. This explains Vacation Bible School coming up soon in your neighborhood. The gospel's got to get out. Don't underestimate what the Holy Spirit can do with your words. He has power. It's a tornado power. It's a fire power. He's in this room right now. Maybe you don't see him, but he's here. He's in the words of the message. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Pentecost. We thank you, Father, for the Old Testament reminders, little pointers to the blessings that we have today. The Spirit being present in the burning bush and in the Exodus and in the tabernacle and in the temple and now fulfilled in Jesus Christ and in our midst even here today, because we know him and we praise him and we love him and we serve him. There's nothing better to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in our own hearts and in our lives. And so we pray, Father, for each and every one of us. We pray especially for the person here this morning who does not know the gospel, the good news. How by faith in Jesus Christ, our sins are washed away, and we have meaning, and we have life. Father, may we not keep this under a bushel. May we let our light shine. Bless us as we talk about Christ, as we promote Christ, as we preach Christ in all that we do and say. Hear our prayer. Bless us by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.